Psalm 23, we'll read these six verses and then we're going to focus on one more of the phrases that we find here in this passage of Scripture. Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And this morning we'll be focusing our attention to the second phrase in verse number 3, where the Scripture declares, He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Our Father in heaven, we ask for your blessing about the preaching of thy word. Help us this morning, Lord, as we consider this. And Lord, I pray that if there's somebody here today that is not saved, that today would be the day of salvation. And Lord, I pray that if there's a Christian here in this building today who's been astray from you, walked away, or Lord, maybe gone away from your fold, that Lord, once again, we might be reminded that you lead us in the paths of righteousness for your name's sake. Father, I pray that you'd bless this service. I pray for all that's done here today. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. If you have a cell phone here today, if you would please take it out and put it on silent, if you could, just so that it doesn't go off. If it does go off during service, you owe the congregation a pizza, and if it goes off twice, it'll be breadsticks on top of that. The Bible says, He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. You know, I've been reading this book that was written by a shepherd, someone who took care of sheep. And he was talking about how that many people wouldn't know how difficult it is to lead the sheep to a pasture and to know when to move on from that pasture to a different pasture. He said, but if you overgraze a pasture, it'll be beaten down, it'll be filled with parasites, and the sheep won't be able to properly eat. And so a good shepherd is constantly making decisions to lead the sheep to different places where they don't overgraze. This is kind of the Lord's job in our lives. He leads us in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Now, sometimes God, as He's done with me in a few different occasions, God has taken me to different places in life, and He'll take you to different places in life. I felt that as a young man that I needed to go into the military. I joined the Army. I trained at Fort Leonard Wood and then at Fort Sam Houston here in San Antonio. I learned things while I was there. I was in a different locale. I learned how people would speak to me that had round-brimmed hats and that they weren't really friendly to me and that they didn't like to call me by my last name. My given last name was Bujak, but they didn't like that. So they called me by different names when I was in the military. How many of you are in the military and you know exactly what I'm talking about? By the raise of hands. Hey, thank you for your service. Thank you for your service. Praise the Lord today. Appreciate those who served in the military, but that my military service took me to different locations. My service to the Lord has taken me to different locations. I never thought that I would end up in the great state of Texas. I've always appreciated the state of Texas. I like Texas. I like how big the state is. I like freedom-loving people. I like how people just love to talk about Texas. I've already been given two pair of cowboy boots in Texas, both by one particular person who is here today, who I will not name. Thank you, Ed Smith. I've been given cowboy hats here in Texas, and so is my son. I like cowboy hats. Now, my wife doesn't like me in a cowboy hat, but I want to tell you something. I like a cowboy hat. I like the good ones, the big ones, the ones that Jacob was given by Brother Wayne. I thank the Lord for that. Sometimes God changes your employment. You know, I don't work at the same place as I did when I first got on in life. I've gone through several jobs and several things that has provided for my family. And you know, God was leading me in each of those professions, and sometimes He was leading me and I was able to make a difference in the lives of people at my places of employment. But sometimes God changes our locations, our places of employment. Sometimes He changes our earthly relationships. I remember as my wife and I came into adulthood and marriage and buying homes that there were certain people that became on the inner circle of our lives. And certain of those people are not on the inner circle of our lives anymore. Our relationships, earthly relationships, have changed. And sometimes God's leading in these paths of righteousness. I didn't know that God had planned for me to go out to a place called Martin Crest Nursing Home in Weatherford, Texas. God planned those things for me. I've been seeing God lead me in paths of righteousness throughout my life, and He'll lead you in paths of righteousness. Sometimes He'll change your earthly relationships and even change the inputs in our lives. And I'm thankful for that. This is exactly what the shepherd does. There's very few times where I come to church and don't thank God for the salvation that He provided me and how He brought it to my life. I was praying this morning, as I mentioned in Sunday school, how that I was so thankful that God worked in my dad's life. My dad was saved in his older teen years and before I was born. And God brought my dad into a church that preached the King James Bible and had preachers stand behind the sacred desk. And I didn't have to be untaught very many things. I was taught the truth from a young age. And I give God thanks for that. God led my dad in a path of righteousness. And as a result, He's led me in similar paths. I'm thankful for that. You know, God leads us in places like this. Some people would understand that they're not following the shepherd if they just would ponder where it is that their life is heading. You know, life is like a train that's moving down the tracks. Where is your life heading? Where are you going? Are you getting closer to the Lord? Or are you drifting away from the Lord? You know, by way of salvation, the Bible says this, that the Lord will never leave you nor forsake you. We at the Metropolitan Baptist Church, as it always has, stood for the truth about the issue of salvation, and that's this. Once you're saved, you're always going to be saved. Once you're a part of the Lord's family, you'll always be a part of the Lord's family. We also believe this, if saved, always saved. How many of you, like me, without raising your hand, you could probably nod your head and say, yeah, there was a time in my life when I thought I was saved, but I wasn't. You know, I took the Lord's Supper 5 times as a child, and I was lost. And God didn't kill me. Go figure. Some of you are just pondering that. I made 5 false professions of faith. I was baptized 5 times. I wanted to make sure I got it. Okay? I was baptized several times before I got saved. My friends, I'm thankful that once I got into the family of the Lord, I don't have to get re-saved. Okay? Baptism didn't save me. Jesus saved me when I believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. I was born again. I received the Lord as my Savior. When I sinned after salvation, I didn't have to get re-saved. I needed to get right with God. I needed my fellowship to be restored with the Lord. But sometimes people could consider, the Bible says, to ponder the path of thy feet. I remember listening to a story from a pastor that's preached here, and he said that he was on the wrong path. And he woke up on the floorboard of a car after getting into a car accident, and he started thinking, where is my life going to end up if I keep on this path? It's a good thought to think. Let me ask you a question. If you keep making sinful decisions, if you keep doing what is wrong, where's your life going to end up? What's going to happen to you in your life if you keep doing things that are not right? You know, the Lord does not lead us in paths of unrighteousness. Think about that. The Lord does not lead us in paths of unrighteousness. He leads us in paths of righteousness. Sometimes just a casual look at your life would identify whether or not you're really following the shepherd. You know, one of the paths of righteousness where I believe the Lord will lead you to is He's going to lead you to attend the Lord's church. Going to church is a good thing. If it wasn't such a good thing, the Lord wouldn't have started his assembly, and he wouldn't have encouraged people to be faithful to the times of assembly. For those who don't think the church is important, all I'd like to say is you never would have heard any of the New Testament scriptures if you didn't attend a church. Because all the letters of the New Testament were written to, well, a majority of them were written to New Testament churches. You never would have even heard the scripture if you didn't attend a church. But the church is very important. The times of assembly are very important. You say, why? There's imperfect people down there. The pastor is certainly an imperfect person. I'm going to let you down. Well, then why would I come to church? Because Jesus never let you down. The church is important. All people who make up the church are imperfect people, but we are people who've been saved by God's grace, and your running for the Lord or doing something for the Lord should be done in and through the New Testament church. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his namesake. Now, if you turn your Bible to the book of Ephesians, a book that was written to the church at Ephesus, Ephesians chapter number 3, if you would please turn your Bible there. I pastored a church one time, and I told you before that there was a gravestone on the front of the church with the name of a couple deacons that previously served there. And I still took the church to pastor it. Now, some of you aren't getting this. If the name of a couple deacons are on the front of the church on a gravestone, you might get the picture that the church may not have been pastor-led. Now, I believe that pastors should lead a congregation. And I thought, you know, having any man's name on this church may have been an offense to God. Now, there may have been a place to memorialize those deacon services, but the front of the church building, in my view, was not one of them. So we took the gravestone off the church, and we put Ephesians 3:21 in its place. Verse 21 says, "Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end." And then it says this. Amen. Jesus wants the glory in his church. Now, if you're going to serve the Lord, if you're going to do things for the Lord, you need to run within the lines. Okay, if you start running on a track and that track meet has rules to where you get a particular lane to run in, if you choose to run across the infield and cross the finish line first, you're not going to be crowned. I'm sure you've heard that story about that marathon in New York, and the woman named Rosie got on the train or the subway and took her toward the finish line, and she broke the record, and then they discovered she cheated, so she didn't get crowned at the end of the race, okay? You don't get crowned if you run outside the lines. If you're going to serve the Lord in this particular dispensation, the Bible says, and this was written to the church at Ephesus, this is what Paul said, "Unto him be glory in the church." Now, that word church isn't talking about an invisible hodgepodge of all believers of all time. The church is the visible, called out assembly of believers who've covenanted together to accomplish the Lord's purpose. It's talking about saved and baptized people who have covenanted together. You're looking at a church this morning. This is the assembly of the saints. And the Lord says, "Unto him be glory in the church." How long should the Lord get glory in the church? The church started while Christ was here on the earth, and he said the gates of hell will not prevail against it. He said, "My church is going to be here, and it's going to last." This is why I come to the Metropolitan Baptist Church today. I believe that Jesus started his church while he was on the earth, and that his church is still here on the earth today. And I don't trace my lineage to the Protestant Reformation, because Baptists are not Protestants. We had nothing to protest. We never believed that the church was in Rome. The church didn't start at Rome. The church started in Jerusalem. So the church that Jesus started, that he said the gates of hell won't prevail against it, is still here today. That means you need to find that church that's preaching the Bible, that's preaching the truth, because the truth is something the church holds to. This is the pillar and ground of the truth. That's why if you're going to some false church and somebody preaching this health, wealth, and prosperity gospel, you're not going to a place that holds the truth. You're going to a place that's making merchandise of people, and you need to be cautious. There's lots of false prophets in the world today. And I'll say this too. There's lots of false churches in the world today. You don't need to just attend any church. You need to attend a church that's teaching the truth. The scripture says, "Unto him be glory in the church throughout all ages." You know, that includes our age. The Bible says world without end. This church is going to be here till the time that Jesus calls us all up out of here. And I thank the Lord for that. So if you're talking about a path of righteousness, the Lord's going to lead you to church. The church is important. The Bible talks about the importance of giving. The Bible says that God loves a cheerful giver. You know, the Lord has instituted things in the church for giving. My wife and I determined, this was well before I was a pastor, that we were going to give the first fruits of our increase to the Lord. We were going to give God his due. When we get a paycheck, we give God the first. We don't give him the last. I don't want to give God my leftovers. I want to give him what comes first. I want to put God first. I was talking to my dad the other day, and I remembered a time where my wife and I had purchased a home in the state of Michigan, and just in a couple years, the housing market just went crazy. It just, like, all the values of the homes just went up. And so I bought a house for $68,000, and I sold it just a few years later without doing very much to the house for $84,000. Yeah, you buy something for $68,000 and you sell it for $84,000. What's your profit on that? Anybody? Okay, this church doesn't do math. No, I made some profit. You know, me and my wife, we started thinking about all the ways that we were going to spend that money that we had just earned. We were so excited. We bought some furniture with that. We bought some other things. You know, we had spent every bit of that stuff in planning. We had spent all that profit. And then I started thinking, do I owe the Lord 10% of that increase? And I started begrudging. Man, that's $1,600 if I pay the Lord a tithe on that. And I started thinking, well, I could do a whole lot more if I kept it myself. And then I started thinking, God just allowed me to earn that kind of money in just 2 years. What kind of Christian would I be if I told the Lord I'm not going to do something when it came to something big like that? You know what? I remember how God called. He said he loves a cheerful giver. And I made out my tithe envelope, and I want to tell you something. I put it in my pocket, and I walked in proud as a peacock that day. I walked in, I was ready for that offering plate, because when I put it in, it cost me something. But I know what Jesus did in my heart. It cost him something. And I gave God the first fruits, not the last fruits, and it was good for me. The Lord does that. The Bible says to bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. You know, this is a path of righteousness. Many people are struggling with their finances today. They say, I just can't get ahead. I can't do this. Sometimes you need to go back to those first fruits of biblical principles and find out maybe why God hasn't blessed your finances. And you need the blessing of God on your finances because you've chosen not to put God first in your life. You should put God first. You say, oh, this happens every time that I come to church. They preach about money or whatever. You know, Jesus preached a lot about your finances. I'm only trying to help you with the blessing now. If you put God first, the Bible says, prove him. And he'll open you the windows of heaven, and he'll pour out blessings that you don't have room enough to receive. And I stand before you as somebody who hasn't always been perfect, I'll tell you, but I've seen the grace of God, and I thank the Lord for what he's done in my life. He'll be faithful to you too if you put him first. Can I get a witness in the congregation? Amen. The Lord leads us to serve. I believe that your service should be done in and through the church. I think when you join a church or when you come into, you know, a relationship with the Lord, he'll lead you in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. He's going to lead you to serve. It's kind of like a vacuum cleaner, right? This church has to be vacuumed just about every week because people in this building don't see a problem with picking their nails and throwing them on the floor. No, I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. Nobody think that's okay, would you? You know, some of you, you know, sometimes you'll see somebody picking their toenails and then biting their fingernails. You guys aren't getting the jokes. And I'm having people going, no, that one just fell flat. You know, we have to vacuum the church, but that vacuum isn't cordless. There are cordless vacuums that are out there today, but our vacuums here at the church have to be plugged into a wall. If you run that vacuum cleaner without plugging it into a wall, it's not going to pick anything up. You need the power. You need the power of God. And when God brings you into an assembly, he wants you to serve him with the skills, the abilities that he's developed in your life. The Lord leads you in the paths of righteousness. He's going to lead you to serve. I'll tell you, the Lord is going to lead you to learn the Bible. For those of you who don't know the Bible very well, for instance, if you don't know the order of the books in the Bible, you can learn it. You say, oh, that's so hard. There's 66 of them. We have children that are coming into kindergarten, first and second grade, who are learning all the books of the Bible in order. I learned them. If you don't know the books of the Bible, we all have these things in the front of your Bible. It's called an index. And you can start trying to learn the books of the Bible. You know, if you want to teach the Bible, you have to know where the books are. Now, there are some little cheats that you can get. Like if you buy a Bible that has the little tabs inside, that'll help you turn in your Bible. But I want to tell you something. God's going to lead you to learn that book. This book is the power of our lives. It's not just because you come to church. There's a whole lot more to the Christian life than just attending church. The Bible is so important. Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. This book has to be a part of your life. You've got to learn it and meditate upon it and believe it and practice the word of God. It's called faith. It's a life of faith. He'll lead you to learn the Bible. He'll lead you to meditate. Here's something else the Lord will lead you to do. He's going to lead you to give thanks and praise His name. It's important to praise the name of the Lord. Sometimes you'll see me lift my hand, so lift high. Lift up on high the name of Jesus. I thank God for the name of Jesus. I thank the Lord for what He's done in my life. Praising Him is important. Giving thanks is important. For your marriage, God made marriage. It was God that said that it wasn't good for man to be alone. And He brought a helpmeet for him. He brought the woman to him. And I thank the Lord. God, you know, if you put Christ in the center of your marriage, you'll have a happy marriage. If you obey the words of God that it has to say about marriage, your marriage will work. God made something that was good, and He made certain things for it. All I'm here to tell you is He leads you in the paths of righteousness. So the shepherd will lead you in righteous paths to love and to serve, to share the gospel. He'll lead you to help the hurting. Now, a few things we'd like to say as we try to bring this message to a close. And if you help me, you'll say amen during the preaching of this, and I'll get through it as quickly as I can. All right. So some of you are really catching on. I mean, this is getting better every week. If you laughed at some of my bad jokes, it might help too. As we think about attitudes that we ought to have as people who are being led by the Lord through our lives, it is Him that's going to lead you in a path of righteousness. I want to say this. God has people for you to reach with the truth in your life. He's got people that He wants you to reach. I can't reach them. In a few weeks, Brother Prater's going to be here. We've got Resurrection Sunday at the end of the month of March. And I'm not wanting to fill every seat in this room so that my name would be built up or so that people would think good of me. I want every seat to be filled in this sanctuary for the glory of God. As we preach on the resurrection of the Lord. And as Brother Prater comes in here, his focus is going to be on people that are walking through grief. But I want to tell you this. Sometimes people who are lost are dealing with grief and they don't know where to turn. And Brother Prater has walked through this, and he's going to preach a very simple message of the gospel when he's preaching this message on April the 7th. The only way that our church is going to grow and affect other people is if we have people that are coming to this church who actually believe in what we're doing and say, would you come to church with me on this day? God's going to lead you in this path, and you could change somebody's life. You could change someone's life forever. Just a few weeks ago, well, it might have been last week, we were able to baptize Miss Donna Malizia. You know how Donna came to this church? Donna came to this church because Brother Daniel and Miss Michelle are faithful to visitation on Thursday, knocking on doors and leaving invitations on people's doors. And Donna's neighbor named Sherman got one of those invitations and said, hey, I don't have a car, but will you pick me up for church on our church van route? They picked him up, and when they dropped him off, Donna said, look, he's coming home from a church. He's carrying a Bible. Can I go with you? No. We don't take Italians to church. Of course you can come. And she was brought to the church, and she's learning about the things of the scripture. And then she says, you know, I'd like to join up with your church. And you know what? The days we were talking to Miss Donna about joining the church and baptism, she ended up going to the nursing home service with us. And I saw Miss Donna, who wasn't even a member yet, greeting the people who were there at the nursing home with us, using her skills and abilities that God's given her and only her to be a blessing to the people who are there at that nursing home facility. And I thought, God's going to use her in this congregation. God can use you too. There's other Donna Malizias out there. Maybe it's your neighbor. Maybe it's your coworker. Maybe it's somebody who's gone through a time of great grief in their life, putting somebody in the ground. Maybe they've buried a child. Maybe they've lost a spouse or a parent, and they're dealing with these issues of grief, and it's struggling. I want to say this, the attitude of a believer of the Lord Jesus Christ should be this. Instead of loving myself most, I am willing to love Christ and others more than myself. If you're going to follow the Lord and be led in the paths of righteousness, you're going to have to learn to love somebody else more than you love yourself. Aren't you thankful that in marriage, that's how it works? Now, men, I have something to say to you. Most of you are selfish. We're born very selfish. You don't have to teach a young kid to be selfish. They're the center of their own universe. And sometimes you come into marriage loving yourself a whole lot more than you love your spouse. And I'm here to tell you, as a man, as somebody who is, you know, trying to be a loving and a serving leader in my home, I don't always do it right, but I can tell you this, the more I invest and love my family, the more it seems like it comes back to me. It's just like what the Bible says. Listen, don't love yourself, love your spouse. Love her first. Put her first. The Bible talks about us elevating people other than ourselves. Philippians chapter 2 and 3 talks about this. Look on the things of others and not everyone on his own things. Instead of being one of the crowd, we need to be willing to be singled out, to stand out. You know, as a Christian, not everybody's going to accept what you have to say today. They're going to say, are you one of those people, one of those churches that carries a Bible to church? Absolutely. And they're going to say, well, we're not going to grace there. We're not going to go to that kind of a church. Listen, it's okay. I don't hate people that don't want to come to a church that's like this. I certainly don't. But my friends, this is the church, the kind of church I'm going to be a part of. I'm going to be part of a Bible-preaching church. And I am willing to take the scorn and the criticism of the world. When you knock on somebody's door or witness to somebody, I can see each week when I'm preaching at the nursing home, there are people in there passing through, and some of the nurses don't care for the message that I'm preaching, possibly. And I'm not sure how the message is touching hearts, but listen, somebody may say, you know, I don't like what he has to say. I've got to be willing to receive that. People are going to reject us. They rejected Jesus. He came to his own, and his own received him not. Instead of insisting on my own rights, I need to be willing to forego them in favor of others. Instead of being the boss, I need to be willing to be at the bottom of the heap. You know, there's in a sheep, when someone's taking care of the sheep, there's always that one sheep that wants to be the top dog, the top ram, if you will. Everybody look at me. I'm going to be the one who dominates this. No, we don't need to be like that around the Lord's church. We want who gets the preeminence at the church. It's not the pastor. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus gets the preeminence here. He's the one who loved us and died for us. He's the one who says that he gets the preeminence in the church. He's the head of the body. It's Jesus Christ. We don't need to have the preeminence at the Lord's house. How about this one? An attitude of someone who's being led in the paths of righteousness. Instead of finding fault with life and always asking why, I am willing to accept every circumstance in life with an attitude of gratitude. Now, there are times in life where we ask how long. The psalmist did it. And there are some times where you pour your life into something and you give it your very best, and some bad things happen to you on the other side of it, and you think, why? Why is this happening? You've got to get beyond the whys, just like the psalmist did. Why art thou disquieted within me? And then he tells himself, hope in God. Turn your attention to God. God does not want you to be ever living in this realm of why. And there's also people who are bitter at God over any number of things. I'm bitter at God because I didn't have the dad I wanted. I'm bitter at God because of things that happened with my stepmother or my stepdad. I'm bitter at God over my marriage or my ex. Or I'm bitter at God about how life has unfolded. And all I can tell you is this. If you believe in a God that's in control of everything, hasn't one thing happened to you in your life where God wasn't seeing? God wants to deliver people from abusive situations, that's for sure. But God can even use things that have taken place in the lives of people that are very painful and get something spiritual out of you. Life is hard because in life we're dealing with sinners. This world is filled with sin and faults and failures. But instead of finding fault with life and being angry at God, we ought to recognize that really God is a good God. For people that are angry over a sinful situation and laying that at the feet of God, I'd like to say this to you. God is not the reason that sin is on this earth. Man is the reason that sin is on the earth. And if your name was Adam and you were the first man and your wife brought a piece of fruit to you and you saw a bite taken out of it already and she offered it to you, there's not a man in this room who wouldn't take that bite either. You're just like Adam is just like you. And if you think you're going to be better than Eve, ma'am, if you were Eve and the first woman on earth, you would have been deceived by that serpent as well. We were man. We are mankind. We are prone to wander and we are prone to fail. But through Jesus Christ, we can be victors. But if you're looking at someone to lay at the who is responsible for all the evils in this world today? Satan and mankind are responsible for the evils that take place to other people. We shouldn't be mad at God. You remember old Joseph? He was sold by his brothers into slavery, thrown into a pit, sold as a slave, falsely accused of rape, and even while he was in jail, he said interpretations, but his opinion of God hadn't been lowered. He still had a high opinion of God. He wasn't laying the difficulties that took place in his life at the feet of the Lord. And at the end of his life, when he forgave his brothers, he said that he wasn't in the place of God. And he said, what you meant for evil, God meant for good. And in your life, God can even take your sins or the sins of others and turn it into some kind of glorious situation if you'll allow God to do this work in your life. Don't find fault with others. Don't find fault with God. Instead of exercising and asserting your will, learn to cooperate with the Lord's wishes and follow in his footsteps. Follow that path that he has led. Sometimes a door closes and you can't go through it. You ever been in one of those situations? You thought you were going this way and God just closed the door. It's happened to me a couple of times in my life where I thought the Lord was leading in this way and then the door closed. I couldn't go through that door. What are you doing? He's leading me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. You know, the leading of the Lord is a winding road. It's a winding one. You know what? If you live for the Lord, you have no idea how the Lord's gonna bless you in this life. It's almost like getting married. You have no idea what kind of glories that are in store for you as a married couple. It's gonna go through times of great glory, and it's gonna go through times of great difficulty. That's why we give those vows in sickness and in health, in poverty and in wealth. It can go either direction, my friend, and sometimes it goes both. It's an exciting life to live for the Lord. Let me ask you this question as we close today. Are you being led in the paths of righteousness? If you're here in church today, I can tell you this. This is a righteous path. This is a way that you ought to go. You ought to give God his day. You ought to give God his due when you come to the Lord's house. You ought to give Sunday, you know, it ought to be a day that's separated as best as you can to be faithful to the Lord's house. It's good for your home. It's good for your family. I thank the Lord that you're here today, but maybe there's some path that you're walking in life and it's not a path of righteousness and you need to get that right with the Lord. I'll tell you where the path starts. It starts with salvation. It starts when you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. There could be somebody here today and you've been struggling with doubts. The Lord doesn't want you to be sitting around dealing with doubts all your life. He can give you confidence that you have in fact been saved. And he can give you that spiritual birth certificate. It's called being born again. It happens when you repent, when you turn to the Lord in faith and trust in what Jesus did for you on Calvary's cross, his death, burial, and resurrection, and when you believe on him in faith and receive him as your Lord and Savior. And you've sensed the Spirit of the Lord coming into your heart. You know it when God comes in. He gives you that freedom, the freedom of guilt and shame. He'll wash all that sin away. Could be somebody in here today say, but Pastor, I'm a church member. Doesn't matter if you're a church member. You could be a church member, but you're not on your way to heaven. You've never been saved. He said, I've heard these messages before. I've been in church a long time, and something in your heart is burning, and it's the Lord. That's called conviction, friend. The Lord does that because he loves you. He's drawn you to salvation. There could be somebody else here today, and you are a Christian, but you've wandered far from the fold of God. I want to encourage you today as we close. Why don't you let God put you back on that path of righteousness? He'll lead you in that path of righteousness for his name's sake. Let's go to the Lord in prayer as we stand together. We're going to have the musicians come and prepare for this verse of invitation. Father in heaven, I come into your presence this morning. I thank you, good Lord, for blessing us today. And Father, I just pray that during this invitation, you do a work in the hearts of people. Could be somebody here today that's making an eternal decision, Lord, who needs to be saved. And Father, I'm asking you with all my heart that today might be the day of salvation. And Lord, there could be somebody else here today who needs to come and pray and get some things right with you. Young or old, pray that you do great work in the hearts of people. Could be a visitor, could be somebody who's a member of the church. Lord, we don't know how you've spoken in this service. Lord, we humble ourselves in your presence, knowing that, Lord, only you could do a lasting work in the life of people. We pray these things in the name of Jesus. Brother John's going to sing the first verse with her heads bowed and her eyes closed. Won't you come on this first verse? Won't you come today? Others have come to pray. Won't you come? People said, amen. Amen. It's been a blessing to be in the Lord's house today. And if you're praying about things today, Jesus said, my house should be called the house of prayer. We're going to be back here tonight for our 6 p.m. worship service. If you have the opportunity to be back, we want to encourage you to do that. But we want to say from the bottom of our hearts, from everybody who's for everyone who's visiting here with us today, thank you so much for being with us at the Metropolitan Baptist Church. We pray that you felt welcome and you also sensed the Spirit of the Lord. We're so thankful for all that he's done. I'm going to call on Brother John Davison to dismiss the service in prayer. We'll look forward to seeing you back this evening.
Let us pray. Dear God, we come before you this morning so thankful for your love for us, Lord. Thank you for giving us the opportunity to come and meet and to worship you in song and also to listen to the preaching and the teaching of your word. Lord, thank you for that. Thank you for the freedom to be able to do that still in this country. Lord, I pray that you'll work in our lives. Help us to apply what we've learned today to our lives and not just let it go in and not do anything to our lives. But Lord, I pray that you'll let your word change us and make us to be closer to you. Help us to be closer in our walk with you. Lord, we ask you these things.